Blog Talk Radio. right, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Shaina with another edition of the Yehuda Project. How is everybody doing today? I hope all is well. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one. We are looking forward to a new week. Everything is coming up on us pretty fast. We got the Passover is coming up, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread is coming up, and Lord have mercy, so much stuff happening so fast. What is going on, people? I hope all is well for you and everybody is doing okay. I hope the class was likable yesterday. I noticed when you guys get quiet, I just keep talking, you know, and I'm just trying to do the best I can. It's just getting interesting. It's getting interesting. Like Brother Yerushalayim said, it's so much stuff going on all over the country. Everywhere we look, it's something happening all the time, you know. But all praises be, we hold and fast to the Most High. We're holding on to his promise and his word, and that's all we can do at the end of the day. We don't have anything else. There's no other recourse. There's nothing else that's going to save us. We've used every government program there is. We've listened to every promise that was made. We have done everything we could possibly do, and the only thing we have left is to wait on the Most High to come. That's it. There ain't nothing else. I wish I could pull out a magic wand and be like, poof, it's over, y'all, but I don't have the power to do that. I don't want to do that anyway. I'm going to wait on him. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. And as usual, you know, I don't have any particular topic to talk about. But, you know, if anything anybody else want to talk about, I would be more than happy to do that. You know, I'm just, you know, I don't know. I do have something to talk about. You know, I don't know whether, I don't know why this is in my spirit. And why, you know, it has been on my spirit for a long time, you know, in just listening, you know, to the church. And for some reason, it's been in my spirit. And I listen to these people and these so-called prophets and these bishops and these pastors and all, and I'm offended. I am truly, truly offended that they have taken our word, and I'm talking about the Old Testament, they are taking the stories that belong to our ancestors and preaching these stories as if they know our Elohim, and they're applying this to people who don't even have an identity, you know, and it's just, it's irritating to the point where I'm just now understanding the magnitude of the lie. And you know, and I know they can't see it. I can't really get angry because they don't see it. But everybody that gets up to that pulpit talks about the children of Israel. Every pastor, every prophet, they go into that Old Testament and they tell the story about the children of Israel as if they know the Elohim that we serve. And I get upset. I get upset. I'm like, when did you become an expert on the Elohim you don't even serve? But I guess they have to come to that conclusion. I just really do believe that they have to come to that conclusion, because I didn't realize it either. But boy, I'm telling you, this is a lot to have to even deal with on that level, because it's like, wow. And you know, they take the scriptures and all of the stuff that go along with the scriptures and they apply them to these people's lifestyles. Like, you know, if he did it for them, he gonna do it for you. And all you got to do, and it's deception. And it's like, dude, you don't even understand. And I know they don't get it. I get it. But it doesn't make it any easier. And the performance starts, and the show goes on, and these people is hoping and hollering and screaming and shouting because they feel like they have access to the Elohim of Israel because of what somebody preached. I understand it. Hold on. Area code 504, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes. They're being deceived. And we have to just wait on the Most High to open their eyes to see what we see. Because everybody's not going to, even if you tell them, they're not going to, they just don't get it. Even our family members, they don't see and understand what we do. You can show them in the scripture. You can tell them the story. They still don't get it. And it's going to take the Most High to open up, you know, their eyes or whatever, you know, for them to grasp the full understanding. But I'm with you as far as them taking our story and applying it to another group of people. You know, they've been doing this all throughout history, our inventions that our people invented, and we are still using today, and they whitewashed and put their names on it. They were not the inventors of most of the stuff that we are using, but they still won't give credit that it was a melanated person that created all of these things. So they, throughout history, they like to lie still and slap their names on it, their faces, and take credit.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, you know, and it took me, and I might be like, well, why do you even listen to it? I don't know why I'm being drawn to it like I am, but I know that when I listen, I'm hearing things now from a different frequency, you know, if that makes sense. You know, I'm hearing things now because I know the truth. I'm hearing things from a different frequency, and it's like, wow. You know, you really do believe that this applies to you. You really do believe that you can go into the Old Testament, tell the story of Joseph, or tell the story of Amos, or tell the story of Moses, or tell the story of Jacob, and then turn around and give it to and preach it to a people that don't know him, and then all of the principles that he that applies to the children of Israel, it applies to those people. And I'm like, wow. It's unbelievable. And you have to realize, like you said, that this is ignorance by they just don't know. They just don't know. They don't know. And you can't tell them. You can't. They just don't know.
It's like telling the story of Santa Claus, you know, for, you know, the kids, but it was a grown man in his 50s, a Caucasian man, and till this day, he said he was all on some channel saying he believed in Santa Claus, and can't nobody tell him there ain't no Santa Claus, and, you know, and he said he believed in it. He'd been believing in it since he was a child up to present, you know, so I think it's something like that.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's unbelievable. You're like, wow. They all do it. They all go back, men and women alike. They go into that Old Testament, and they talk about the children of Israel, and they talk about the Elohim of Israel, and then they turn around and apply it to these people's lives. It's just unbelievable. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. It's scary that this is, you know, these are the things that I listen to all this time. Scary. I want you to hear something. Just listen. Just listen. I want you to hear something.
Hello?
Beginnings of it, sir. in a contextual sense. You start out in the 11th chapter, and it's interesting that we're here at Pilgrim's Assemblies tonight. Pilgrim's Assembly, and we're talking about a pilgrim, because that's the root of this story. These words were able to come about because there was a pilgrim who had a call in his life. We know the story of Abraham. The Bible talks about Abraham and how God called him out from Ur of the Chaldees. Y'all know about Abraham. He was down there with his wife Sarah. They were known earlier as Abram and Sarai, but we, in the finality, we know him as Abraham and Sarah, and they dwelt in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, and the scripture seems to indicate, there's nothing noteworthy about them. We just get a little biographical sketch about Abraham and Sarah, and then his lineage, Nahor, who he came forth from, and that's all the Bible tells us. It just introduces us to them, and they're there in the land of the Chaldees, and suddenly in chapter 12 in verse 1, God speaks to Abraham and says, Abram, I want you to get out, amen, come out from among, y'all know what the scriptures say, your kindred. I want you to leave the land of your nativity. And he was calling him into the life of a pilgrim. He was calling them into a life of taking a journey with him. And I'm going to tell you, you don't know God if you don't go on a journey with him.
You see what I mean? That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly right there what I'm talking about. And you look and you know what? I listened to that for so many years. That it is a true statement, but it's not truly stated. You know, they take, and this is what is being done. They're taking it and twisting it. And they're applying it. They're not really even twisting it. They're applying it to a people's life that it don't fit. It's unbelievable. You know, all of that Abraham, he said, you know, he came from Nahor. That's where he came from. No, he came from Terah. You know, and then, you know, and you listen to this stuff, and it's like, no, now, you know, and it's like if you're going to tell the story, tell it right. And then they'll turn around and, you know, and he was on a journey. And if you ain't never been on a journey with God, you ain't never been on a journey. And people get to hooping out. And it's like, wow. Wow. I had gotten to the point where I couldn't stand to listen to it because I couldn't stand the hooping and the hollering. But lately, the Most High is really making me listen. He said, listen, let's just listen to it. Listen. Listen to all of it. Just listen. And it's unbelievably sad. And I know that they don't see it. I'm not blaming them because they don't see it. I guess I'm looking at how long I sat through it and listened to it and believed it. I listened to this stuff and believed this stuff for years, you guys. I paid into this stuff. Because this was all that I knew. You know, and this was the way, these people introduced the God of the Bible to me. And this is all that I ever knew. But then when I realized that it was something missing, I said, something is missing. Because if this is the God of the Bible, and we are reading these scriptures according to the way it's supposed to be done, something is not happening. Something is missing. And it was the missing part that made me go search. And I remember reading the scripture that said, if you seek me, I'll let you find me. He said, knock, and the door will be open. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. And I began to ask, like, what's wrong? Because something is wrong. The preaching is good. The teaching, I thought all this. I said the preaching is good. The teaching is good. The Holy Ghost is there. We're speaking in tongues. We're doing all the, and the Spirit is there. What is wrong? Something is wrong because there's something missing. It was a good emotional fix until it wasn't. It was a good emotional fix until it wasn't. And now, when you look back on it now, as a result that it is, you're looking and you're saying, wow. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. It is something, you know, and you look at it now and you're like, that wasn't even the God of the Bible. I didn't even really know him. I knew him from the narrative that was being told to me from people who didn't know him. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, seriously, it is really unbelievable to be able to now hear it and understand how the craft. I'm watching it and hearing it, and I understand the craft and how they are being taught to present this stuff to the people. It's a craft. They have to be taught how to do this. This isn't something that they just wake up and do. They're taught how to do and how to use the craft. And the ultimate goal of the craft is to get the people excited. Is to get them excited. And then you have a whole audience of people who are hooping and hollering and screaming and speaking in tongues and shouting and running and doing the things that they're doing that mean absolutely nothing. It's unbelievable. That's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, you know, when you look, and then you know, and you, when you look at it and you know that this is the next movement, this is what's got to, this is what you have to come up against, you're going to have to really know how to deal with it. I mean, for real, because, I mean, you know, these people, is they staunch, you know. If that's holiness there, right, that's Jesus' name only. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not scared of nobody. I don't have no issues with nobody. I don't have any ill feelings toward anybody. But you have to know the people that you are surrounding yourself with, you know. And this is a craft. And it's not just subject to the Holiness Church. It is every church, every denomination, every church, every pastor is taught how to do this. They're taught how to do it. And it's incredible. You know, and I think that the hardest part for us is we try to analyze it and look through it and say, it's got to be something there that was real. I mean, you know, because it took up my time for so long. It's got to be something there. Was the Holy Ghost real? You know, was the speaking in tongues real? Was the power, the feelings, were those real? Something had to be real in that environment to make me stay as long as I have. And it wasn't. It was just your eyes were closed. Eyes were closed. Your eyes was closed. And I wonder what it's going to be like when their eyes are finally open. Lord have mercy. And I'm talking about pastors alike. All of it. What is it going to be like when their eyes are finally open? It's going to be something to see. I mean, you know, it's really interesting. That's all I had to say. I just have been going through that. You know, I've been struggling with that and listening to these people and all these prophetess and prophets and people that are I'm going to give a word to the church and the word is powerful and God has sent me here to tell you something, and you've got to listen to what I've got to say. And then you like, whoo. And these people are sincerely serious. They are serious. And they believe that what they're saying is truth. They're serious. Yeah. And all I can say is please keep praying for them. You know, we all have family members that are in there. They're still in there. You can't tell them anything. They know everything. Please keep praying for them. You know, I don't think that confrontation is the key right now until the Most High opens up the door for us to do it, you know, unless he leads you to talk to someone. Because they really can't see this. They can't see this. They really can't. They cannot see it, you know. And because it's so emotionally toxic and it's emotionally drawing, and it's alluring them in, they won't let themselves see it. They can't believe it. So, I mean, you know, I just wanted to share that with you, and then, you know, for you all to understand, before the Most High sends me to do anything, I have to study it. I have to study it to see what it is. I have to understand from a Hebrew Israelite perspective what it involves. And I did the same thing with the Israelite movement. When I first awakened, I had to study them. I listened. I watched. You know, I went around to the different YouTube clips and groups, and I talked to Hebrew Israelites that were conscious, and I asked questions because I wanted to know, you know, why is it this way, and how come we can't do this, and what is it that we need to do, and you know, and that was for my own benefit, because I need to know, you know, I wanted to know what I was up against before I actually took on the assignment. Well, I was going to do it anyway because he called me to do it. However, I still like to do my homework. I mean, I just don't believe in just stepping up into something just with blind faith. I didn't. And it took a while to get us to this point, but it's very important that you know what you are dealing with. Very important. You know, and this is just me doing a different inventory now. This is me watching and listening and understanding how intensely deceptive it is, and to try to talk to a people who can't hear it. And, you know, we have been sending out emails to different pastors in love, and we mean that with the deepest sincerity of our heart. All of this stuff is done in love. We're not trying to cause any problems or anything, but we have to know what we're dealing with from a Hebrew Israelite perspective, because nobody can teach anybody about our God but us. Can't do it. You don't even understand it. It's too deep sometimes for us to understand, and we've been in this word for years, going backward and forward in that Bible for years, and the little bit of information of the brain that he has opened up, sometimes it's too powerful to even deal with, to even try to comprehend. It's too much. You know, it's just too much. It's too powerful for us to even understand how powerful he is. You know, and you really, shouting and stuff is that, you know, you just in awe, your mouth hung open like, wow. You know, so, you know, when you get other people telling the story, it's like somebody doing a documentary about you and they don't even know you. You're like, wait a minute, hold up, wait. And that's exactly what it is. It's a documentary being told, being narrated about a people and their Elohim over the pulpit that takes about 45 minutes to do. And there's no way. Let me give you a newsflash. There's no way you can sum it up in 45 minutes. It's too deep. It's too deep. I was talking to my uncle today. He was like, you know, he said, I was just thinking about all the people that we have lost. I said, yes, I do that sometimes. He said, we have lost a lot of people. I said, yeah, we have. I said, but think about the people that they lost before we came along. He was like, yeah, that's true. I said, it's difficult. I said, I really do. I said, I ride past this house sometime when I'm in a certain area, and these people are just sitting on their porch, and they all on the porch laughing and talking. I said, it brings back memories because that's what we used to do. He was like, yeah, I was thinking about that too. I said, but you know what? The best thing about it is we'll see him again. And then I ended it with some, I said, on this earth. And I think it just flew over him like, you know, and I had to remember for a moment, like, you got to remember who you're talking to, you know, because you done went, you done took it to a whole nother level that they not, they just not, it's not. It's just not there. It's not. You know, so I, you know, this is the whole purpose of it, is to just give a study. I'm just trying to figure out what, you know, what we up against, you know, and to just be able to deal with it, because they don't understand anything about, you know, us being, us coming back again on this earth. They don't really understand about this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. They don't understand that. That just takes them to a, whew, it goes right up over their head. They don't get it. They really don't get it. And it's just very interesting how it's being deliberately set up to do what it does. You know, and then, you know, like I said, I was in it. I was in it. I was sold. I was supporting it financially, mentally, spiritually, everything. You know, but we have to learn. This is something that we have to learn, who we're up against. And this is nothing compared to what's coming. You know, but we still have to deal with it, because Yah, those also are Yah's people as well. And we were them at one point. We were. And when you, it's just a level, a different level of maturity, I guess, that I'm dealing with right now. You know, to be able to just say, calm down, take a deep breath, and listen. So that you know how to, one, talk to them, two, how to provide the respect that's needed, and three, what, and wait for the Most High to give you what to say. Because it's never done out of spite or envy or anger. It's done in love, you know, and it has to be. So I don't want to be the only one talking. I just want to share that with you. I just began to listen. I really did begin to listen from a Hebrew Israelite perspective. I just began to listen. And nobody can tell our story but us. Nobody can explain to the world what our Elohim is about but us. Nobody. And we have a hard time dealing with it. You know, because it's one thing to read it on paper, and it's another thing to see it up close and personal. Totally different situation. You know, but nevertheless, it is. So anybody else that have anything else you want to discuss, please feel free to push one. I do appreciate you spending your Sunday with us the first day of the week. You know, don't forget that tonight at the going down of the sun at even, we have our new moon ceremony. And that we're going to meet on our class line at 7 o'clock. And we're going to initiate the new moon ceremony and bring that in. You know, and then we're rolling up on the Passover, which is next, not this coming Friday, but the next Friday. And we wanted everybody to be prepared. Don't forget to get all the yeast and stuff out of your house. Remove it out. You know, we got to get it out. Hold on. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I just want to say shalom, Sister Yaya. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I do have a question, because I was reading scriptures. I have a question. I just want to get your opinion on something, if you don't mind.
Okay. No, we got
I was in the book of Amos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amos, when you get in the book of Amos, you get to chapter 8, and you start reading through it. That's talking about future, isn't it?
Hello, let me see. Let me check and see. Oh, you know what? This is the scripture that the lady read about. This is the scripture that the, hold on. Let me see, because I listened to this. This is what seest thou? And he said, a basket of summer fruit. Let's read it. It says, thus, you read it, Brother Yerushalayim, if you want to read it. I don't have to read it. You read it.
Let me pull it up right quick. It won't take but a second.
Okay.
This is what I was doing last night. I was, you know, looking at some things last night. I didn't got myself wise. I really be looking into the scriptures a lot now.
Mhm.
And this one's coming up because I keep hearing about it, and I'm gonna read it. Mm-hmm. And the part that I was reading was that I got stuck on. I know it's in this. I'm trying to find it. It's Amos chapter 8,
mm-hmm.
and it starts at, I think it's 8, Amos chapter 8, verse 8, and I'll read it for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It says, "Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yah our Elohim, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of Yahweh." Now, I took that as being something that's to come, because that when I get to 11, that when it talks about, because I know 11, that's when it talks about the famine of the word.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it kind of like throws me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it referring?
Well, you know, Amos was a prophet. You know, he was one of the prophets. And he lived in a small town outside of Jerusalem. And they said that he was actually, according to what the commentary say about Amos, there was something coming up on the land of the children of Israel. And the Most High is using him as a prophet to deliver his prophecy against the northern kingdom of Israel and the surrounding nations. So that is what, if you go to Amos chapter 7, you know, now all of the scriptures are not conducive, and they don't always fall in chronological order. But if you go to chapter 7, it goes into a little bit more detail about what's going on, 7 and 12. And it says, "Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. For it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Most High took me as I followed the flock, and the Most High said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Most High, thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. It says, and then he goes and says, Thus saith the Most High, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. So he is actually giving a prophecy to the northern kingdom, and they didn't want to hear it.
Right.
So then when you get over to chapter 8, the Most High is using him to see, he's using the basket of summer fruit as an example. So now where did you start at? Where were you at? At number 8?
I started at 8.
Okay. And then you said, shall not the land tremble? This everyone mourn dwelleth therein, yeah, and it shall come to pass that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in a clear day. And I will turn your feast into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all the loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. And now he goes into, behold, the days come. Did you get down to 11?
Yep, I did.
That I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but hearing of the words of the Most High. And they shall wander from the sea to sea. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because that's what I was doing. No, I know that, but I'm just saying, because the word's still out here and the word being taught.
Yes, it is.
I was just wondering, because I know I brought it up in class the other day, because I remember that scripture where it talks about the word, and I just want to make sure of that, because I know that at some point the word's going to be cut off and it's not going to be taught.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, that is very, very true. You know, and then they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Most High and shall not find it.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me open up Brother Leonard's mic. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, he's prophesying about the Assyrians coming, taking it to Nineveh.
The what?
He's prophesying, Amos is telling the northern kingdom about the Assyrians are coming. They're going into captivity because they turned away from the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely prophesying, and I will bring again the people and build the cities. Yeah, he's definitely prophesying to the northern kingdom. That is for sure. And not to mention that it is going to be, well, I can't say it's a shortage of the word now. You know, but that can happen today because we are definitely, we are in such a weird place right now. Like I said, you've got these pastors that are using this word and applying it to themselves, and it's just totally out of order. It's out of order.
Okay. Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's more than one day of the Lord. I noticed it from reading. You know, so many people think it's looking at the day of the Lord at the end times, but it's more than one day of the Lord. Every time the Lord comes and visited Israel, when he came and got them out of Egypt, that was the day of the Lord. And if you go to Haggai, when he raised up Zerubbabel and Joshua to go back, that was the day of the Lord. So when he talks about it getting dark in the middle of noonday and all that, it's the day of the Lord. It's not just privy to the end time.
That That's true.
Every time you
I
show
agree.
Up, it's the day of the Lord. Right.
That's true. I agree with you 100%. I agree. Yes, he says, the time during which Amos prophesied was a time of relative peace and prosperity for the kingdom of Israel and their neighbors. During that time, the small country such as Israel and Judah experienced no threat from major empires of the region such as Egypt or Assyria, although that would soon change. Amos contended that the prosperity of the wealth of that society was built upon the backs of the poor, and Amos announced Yah's condemnation of both Israel and the surrounding nations for their greed, injustice, brutality, and particularly for the oppression of the poor by the wealthy. So, you know, he also condemned the poor worship life of the people and all the things that they were doing. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that it can't apply because, you know, right now it's not a day where the word is not there right now, but I mean it is, but it's not because it's not being used properly. And it's just really interesting. I mean, seriously, he said, "Behold, the days come," saith the Most High, "that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a famine of thirst for water, but the hearing of the words of the Most High." And it's like that today. People don't want to hear it. They don't. And it can apply. It can apply to today because people don't want to hear it. They just don't. People will hang up on it. They be like, I don't want to hear all that. That don't have nothing to do with me. Yeah, I'm going to ask my pastor. So, yeah, I mean, you know, but as far as the backstory was concerned, he was actually prophesying to Northern Israel, you know, and giving them a prophecy from the Most High, you know, what was supposed to happen. But, yeah, it can apply. I mean, it's definitely there.
But it also applies to his people for the second Exodus, that they won't be here, and the people going to be, it'll be a famine of, they looking for the word, but God's, you know, people will be gone.
I don't think they're going to ever stop teaching the Bible. I don't think it's going to ever stop. It's just not going to be, it's like I said, they're going to do what they're doing right now. They are using the scriptures for their benefit, and that's not going to change nothing. You know, I think that, you know, like I said, we have to be the one to introduce this thing to the world and who he is and how, what he expects and how, you know, how he is to be worshipped. But I don't think they're going to stop using the word because it's not, you know, this is what they're shouting over a premise that's really not, has not really expressed itself. You know, because you can get up and say, ain't he been good to you, and da-da-da, and everybody going to go shouting. You know, they going to go shouting. They really are. There's nothing you can do. So it's going to definitely be interesting, and it's already a famine in the land for the word, for the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. They just like Pilate. He said, truth? What's truth? So, yeah, it could apply. I mean, you know, it could apply. Definitely could. You know, it's going to be a shortage in the land now. And the word is out there, but people believe what they want to believe. They don't want to believe anything else. They don't want anything to shake up their foundation. They're happy with the way they know God and what in the Elohim and where the way they think they know the Elohim of Israel, and that's what they're going to deal with. No? No, it just is what it is. You know, because he came from Judah. He was in the land of Judah and went to the northern kingdom to give the word. You know? And this is what it was. And he gave a word like it's over with. It's getting ready to be over with. And just like we're going to have to do in a few minutes. You know? Ain't too much we going to be able to do. But give the word. Yep. And so, yeah, it could apply. You know, it could apply to now and then. But this basically was talking about, you know, what they were doing, you know, what he was prophesying to the northern kingdom about. You know, the Most High sent him there to prophesy. Anything else? Anybody else have any questions, comments of any kind? You know. Interesting. I'm telling you, we're getting there. We almost there again. You know. Because this was from Israel to Israel. This really was more or less he was talking to the northern kingdom. He was talking to the northern kingdom, and it was nothing anybody could do about it because that's who the Most High sent him to, and he used that fruit basket as a metaphor. He said, "Look at it. What do you see? What do you see? You know." know, and he was telling him, this is what I see. This was a lot. Anybody have any other questions? You know, are you guys ready for the Passover? You guys ready for it? You got all the stuff out of your house and everything out of you out of there? You got everything out?
Just about.
No. Yeah. It's a powerful thing. I'm telling you, it is a powerful thing. Get all your stuff. I mean, you got a week. You have a week, maybe 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks to just start cleaning stuff out of there and get ready for, you know, because we're going right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we're going to be right into that one. So, you know, very important to have this out. But, you know, well, I mean, how do you guys feel? You know, we have studied and we have learned and we have been through those scriptures year after year after year after year. We've completed the 400 years. That's over with. You know, how do you feel right now at this moment? You know, do you feel like you're stagnated? Do you feel like, do you feel anxious? Are you getting depressed? Or, I mean, how are you feeling knowing that right now we're in the waiting period?
I feel excited because I feel that we're getting closer and closer, that, you know, it's going to happen very soon.
Mhm. Okay. Yeah, I do. I mean, I feel that way too. I feel like it's gonna happen very soon too. You know, but you know, are you okay with very soon could be 2 years from now?
I could be okay with that, but my feeling, I think it's going to happen sooner than 2 years. That's just my feeling.
Okay.
I just feel, yeah, it's closer than 2 years.
Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to be totally honest with me. Are you really ready to go?
Am I really what?
Ready to go.
Yeah, I am.
So if it happens, say, Friday, next Friday, and they said, okay, that's it, knowing it's not going to be that fast. But if it happens and they say, okay, we're next Friday, they say, okay, we're going to start putting some things together to make sure that you guys get back to the Middle East, you know, and we're going to make sure that you all are out of here by the end of March. Would you be ready to go?
Yes, yes, I will be ready to go because I've been preparing myself mentally to give up everything, to leave everything behind. And I don't feel that I'm attached to my car or, you know, whatever. That, yeah, I think I can honestly say that I would be ready to go. You know, I can't speak for everyone, but I've been conditioning and looking forward to this and looking forward and, you know, making, you know, plans on, you know, having something packed, small, ready to go. You know, they say, hey, you got to go. I don't have to go through anything to, you know, last minute. I need this, I need that. I've already made some preparation of basic things to go into a little bitty small bag that I can just grab and go. So I feel I'm ready because I've been looking forward to it. I guess it's like the children, when they believed in Santa Claus, and you know, the closer it was getting, they would be all excited and they looking forward to it and they couldn't wait. That's the way I feel.
Okay. I mean, you know, because it's a real reality. I mean, you know, it's a real reality. This is a real thing. This is not something that we making up or something that we just believe in. It. This is a real reality. Let me open up the mic. Area code 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Just want to say that, yeah, we're ready to go here. I mean, if we could leave in the next New York second, we would do it.
Okay.
There's nothing here for us. There's nothing here for us. I mean, you look at everything, what's going on with this country. And is really turning against us, truly turning against us as a people. And I don't want to be here no more. I really don't.
Now, why do you say that it's turning against us as a people? Just for the people that are listening.
Look up at what's going on. You have people that's coming over here from the South, okay? And they are really giving them the welcoming mat. I mean, they're getting money, they're getting food, they're getting shelter. And you got our people that have been homeless.
Right.
Not only just our people, but also just Americans, period. And
right.
They're not doing nothing for them like that. And when I see that, that hurts. But especially for my own people. And plus out of that, you're killing them, you're hanging them, you're beating them up, you're shooting them, you're raping them. And it's like, I'm just tired, sick and tired of being always scrutinized, always wondering if every time I see a cop that's driving behind me, is he going to stop me today? Does he feel like he has he drank some Billy Goat juice, thinking that he can go ahead on and try to bully me out? And I'm just sick of it. And then the food, the water, the air, and just the attitude, period. We are ready to go. We are ready to go. Like I said, if we could leave right now, we would do it in a New York second. Yes, it's going to be hard, most likely when we get there, because we're not going to have the amenities that we're used to. But I think that somehow, some way, y'all, whatever he's going to do, we just simply trust him. I know that I do.
I trust him.
We trust him here. So whatever he decides to do, whatever he says, go here, this is where we're going. Now, if she don't want to go, she can stay wherever she is, but wherever he says to go, I'm going, and vice versa.
Okay. I just want to know, anybody else? Let me open the mic. Hold on. Area code 332. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi. I'm listening. I'm ready to go, but for different reasons. These people are lollygagging, these politicians, especially Adams and stuff. Why are they giving all the food and all the good stuff to the immigrants coming in? I'm 68 years old. The food pantry no longer stocks food. They set aside food for these scalawags. They put them head on the line. I don't understand it. We as a people are no longer respected. We are put further behind in the bus. Get to the bumper. That's what I think they're doing now. Get to the bumper, because it is ridiculous. Our vote is being taken for granted. Now they got a new sort of people coming in, giving them special gifts, $10,000 gift certificate. For what? Why don't I get some of that? You understand? I've been in this country 50 years. I don't understand why I'm not being treated like a first-class citizen. These people come in. They come from wherever, Guatemala, whatever they come from. They're giving these Mexicans, they're giving them good stuff. Why are we getting all the scraps? We're not even getting scraps anymore if you think about it. What are we getting? My bags are packed, but I'm more angry at the politicians. The politicians who are selling us out. The council is selling us out. You know, they could vote. They could help us. Do you not agree they could help us? What do? They set aside $53 million for Paco, Jose, and Lupe. What about Johnny, Jethro, and Bob? What about my people? You understand what I'm saying? I'm angry. I'm leaving. I'm packing up my Louis Vuitton bags.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so if that's the case, they could say, well, we've always given you things. We've always made sure you guys ate, you had food stamps. We made sure you had affordable housing. We made sure you were able to get an education. We made sure you had all the things that we made available for you to have. So they could say, how could you feel like that?
I can answer that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Number one, we had to fight for our civil rights. These people just coming in here and just getting rights. We had to march. We had water holes, dogs sicked on us, beat with the billy club to fight for our right. Cation, I worked in the education over 30 years. I saw when I worked in my student population was predominantly white. I had a few blacks. We had the top of the line books and everything. As soon as the area started changing and the neighborhood, you know, the population changed over to the melanated people, I come in the next year and I get these books that they passing out that's been watered down. And I ask the principal, where are the books I had the previous year or the previous year? And she said, these are the new books. So the librarian of the school told me, she said, oh, those books, I was told to lock in the basement of the, I said, well, do you mind if I can go down there and get those books? Because those books talk on a higher level. The books that she ordered for that next year, it was watered down 2 and 3 years below whatever the grade level was. And I didn't want those. I went in the basement and found the books and brought them up and integrated them into what I was teaching. It's a lot that's been going on that they have watered down. Yes, they gave up housing. But then they redlined, you can only buy in these neighborhoods and this area. No, we could not move out into the suburbs where the better houses were being built, and you charged the white people a lower price than what you charged us. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. When I was first out of high school, I wanted to go into nursing. And I took the test that you had to take in order to be admitted into the nursing school. But what they did, they had you go in person. And when they saw that you was black, they told me, oh, I'm so sorry, you missed it by 1 point, you missed it by 2 points. But then the foreigners went in, they couldn't even speak English. They come out smiling, oh, I got accepted. And I took that test 2, 3, 4 times. And I know I passed the test, but they would never let you see your scores. They had to see your face. They had to see my face to let me know, oh, you passed or you didn't. So I gave up on it, and I switched over to, changed my major over to teaching. But, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that our people have gone through that these foreigners coming in now, they're not going through this. And I'm like the man that just got off. Where, you know, how come we didn't get this treatment? How come our men went over and fought for this country, came back with limbs missing? They didn't get no free house. They didn't get $10,000 in credit or nothing. Some of them are homeless. So that's, I agree with him. We were treated, look at our men, I forget what year it was, they came back from fighting overseas, and as soon as they got off the bus, they killed them. Mm. They shot them down. They just got off the bus coming back home. And then the other ones that fought over, I don't know if it was World War One or Two, where the French wanted to give them medals because they did such an excellent job. And our president said, no, don't give the black people nothing because they come back home and think that they better than everybody else. No, no. They fought. They deserve those medals. It wasn't given to them. So, I mean, we can go on and on and on and on, whereas these foreigners can just walk in here and look down on us because they were told that don't associate with us because we at the bottom of the totem pole. And so I regret that. I regret you coming in and turning your nose down at me when my forefathers shed their blood, their sweat, gave their lives to even build this country. We built the White House. We built America. So how are you going to come in and turn your nose down and look down on us? And, yes, the politicians, giving them all that, yes, I'm against them. And in one of Trump's speech I was looking at the other day, somebody was replaying it, where he is saying, make America great again. And then he looked out in the audience and said, oh, I guess, you know, for you black people, it was never great for y'all. So what are you saying, that you're going to make it great for your people, that you know that it was never great for my people? So I would have gotten up and walked out if I was – I don't even know why they were sitting there cheering him on when he was insulting them. And he said more than one thing, you know. Like, I look in the audience, and oh, the lights are bright. All I see is black people. So what are you saying, that you only see their eyes and their teeth, that they black? Or you just saying I only see the black people because I want them to vote for me? So, I mean, it's a whole lot of stuff going on. And, yes, I regret. I'm like the man. I regret them coming, getting all of this. But that's okay, because the Most High got our back, and we're going to leave out with our riches. So we don't have to ask for reparations or anything. So that's what I'm looking forward to. My bags are packed.
Hold on. Area code 917, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I've been listening to your conversation, and as a male black living in New York City, I could tell you this. My anger is more vetted towards the politicians, as the brother before stated. For the mere fact of this, I work for NYCHA. Currently, most of the apartments that are being emptied out, and no one knows this in the news, but they're being emptied out and they're being hoarded. They're not being released to anyone else. They're being hoarded. They're getting ready to prep these apartments for guess who? For the immigrants. Now, how do you feed into this? How do you read this? As these people have not paid into the system, correct? And here are our political friends, supposedly, not helping the common black man that suffered through these years, but now are putting a certain select group of people ahead of the line. How do you take from the few that are poor and destitute and give to these people that come here and are getting free willy-nilly gifts? You understand what I'm saying in this aspect? NYCHA is getting ready to purge the buildings. You understand? By giving them to the immigrants. This is a concept. No one's going to know this till it happens. And I'm telling you from the inside, this is what's happening. If you look around, I don't know if any of you live in NYCHA. You look around, you look up to the building, you'll see many empty apartments. Many. Why are they not renting them out to the regular, you know, brother and sister who needs help, the family that needs help? Because they're holding them. This comes straight from the top, Adams. This also comes from our ungrateful politicians in the council. Now, these people are the danger within. You understand what I'm saying? These people are supposed to help us. What are they doing? They're helping other people for other reasons, political, whatever it may be. So come election time, you guys, everybody's got to understand this. Where does my vote go? Does my vote go to the politician who is screwing me or the politician that possibly could give me something else? We can no longer stay on the farm. You understand? We are all raised to vote a certain way. Now, I'm not saying vote Republican, Democrat. Go independent and vote with your heart. Now, if the current party is screwing me, screwing my family, it is time for us to screw them back. Send a message, because this is unacceptable, people. Very unacceptable. And this is what all I have to say.
All right, let me go to the next person. Area code 845, your mic is open. You're on the air.
How you guys doing? Frank Galata, World War II veteran. How you guys doing today?
Good. We're good.
Good, good. I'd like to start this off, rest in peace to Mike Tyson, who I just got news about 5 minutes ago passed. So let's have a moment of silence, please.
Did he pass away?
No.
That's what I just heard about 2 minutes ago, one of my friends, Earl. told me, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but let's rest in peace for Mike Tyson. So coming back from the war, I wasn't provided with any apartments, any shelter. You know, and I'm a white man, and they never gave me anything, for God's sakes. So, this whole race thing, it just doesn't make sense to me. I fought for the war, and here I'm coming back and getting nothing.
So how do you feel about the immigrants coming in?
I think they all should be sent back, for God's sakes. Who's paying for all this? We're paying for it. I fought for this country, and now I'm paying for these people to come in and bring all the drugs and everything into this country? They can't have it.
It's true. That
who's
is
paying
so very
for
true.
It?
Yeah.
Who's paying
and
for
you
it?
Know
look
what
at all these.
About it is this is the thing about it, is that you can't go to their country and post up and move in and you just can't. You cannot go to Mexico and just decide you're going to stay. It doesn't work that way. You can't. But again, everything happens for a reason. And we know what the reasoning is, don't we? We know what it is. All I can say is everything happens for a reason. That's all we can do. We know what's going on, whereas the world doesn't. And it's okay. You know, we just have to keep doing what we're doing and make it work and do what we're supposed to do. And you have heard from other people. Area code 513, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, family. I don't know.
Shalom.
I'm just coming on. Just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year. Our new year started today.
Yeah, new year.
That's maybe what one of our new year. This is our jubilee. This is our year of reset, our year of restoration. And I just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year and also to be vigilant. I know that we all see the craziness that's going on, but these things have to happen. They just have to. We have to prepare ourselves, you know, like Sister Shirley said, is mentally detach yourself from everything in this nation. The money, the cars, if the immigrants come, let them have it. It doesn't matter because I'm not going to be here. I can leave today. I am completely detached. There's nothing else here. I don't want the scraps. I don't even want the whole slice of whatever this country is offering. It's time for us to go and go on to something new and completely detach ourselves from the things here. Is it tough? Yes, tough. Are things expensive? Things are very expensive. Are things uncomfortable? Yes. It has to happen. It has to get us in a place to leave. And I'm looking forward for us to leave. The sooner, the better. If we leave next week for Passover, better for me. Detaching ourselves is to come out from among them and be separate. I don't care what's going on. My focus is going back to the land of Canaan, back to our Elohim, and watching only with my eyes the reward of the wicked and the destruction of this country. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to wish everybody a happy new year. Stay prayerful and stay vigilant.
Hallelujah. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Woo!
Happy New Year.
We got a lot of people on this line that's not Israel, so, you know, the trollers are listening and they're coming in, but it's all good, you know. But, you know, like I said, we know what it is, we know what it means, and we just keep doing what we're doing. Because they have to have a workforce. They have to have somebody to continue the lifestyle that they're used to having. They have to have that. And they don't mind us leaving. They don't mind us leaving. That's right up Trump's alley. He don't mind us leaving. He'll be the one to say, let's get the boats going. Where are we taking them to? They don't mind us leaving, so it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. Ain't nothing else you can say. It is what it
is. I absolutely agree. I mean,
I heard one of the people say it, and I'm gonna say the same thing. I am detached. I can honestly say that I'm detached from this stuff in this country and this world. I could leave right now. If it was said right now, it's time to go. I have no problems. I don't even have to have a bag. I don't have to have nothing. I could just go in there and get ready and start walking. If you say I had to walk to the port, I will walk to the port. That's how I'm going to jump over all of this stuff that goes on in this land. The more I read, the more I study, the more, you know, Sister Jane, I've been fasting at least like once a week, at least once a week now for a while. I take a whole day out. And I don't eat, don't drink, been dedicated to the Most High. And the more I do that, the more I understand that He directs every step that we make. So it's nothing that you need to complain about. Not saying you, but there's nothing no one needs to complain about. There's nothing no one needs to even worry about. Because every step that we take, every thought that we say, He directs our path. Not only does He direct our path, He going to save whom He will. He going to destroy whom He will. And there's nothing that we can do about that but pray, serve Him, and be grateful. And I'm grateful for every little thing that I have right now, because it all could be gone tomorrow if he so will. But I am so over this place. I'm so over the treatment, the people. I don't care nothing about the immigrants coming in. You know, as that gentleman said, he fought for this country. I fought for this country as well. And to see that kind of stuff, it bothers me. But I know that this is not my home. I remember, and I'm going to go way back with this one. I remember when that movie Roots first came out. And Kunta was saying that this when he was older, had got married, and she said, are you going to leave your home? He said, this is not my home. I can turn and look at everybody. This is not my home. They talk about immigrants and all this. We not no doggone immigrants. We didn't have a choice. And that's why I wish for everybody to quit convoluting. We didn't have a choice, because if I had a choice, I wouldn't be in this daggone country, because this is not my style. But I'm just saying, we did not have a choice in the matter.
That's
true. Immigrant is somebody who comes into a country because that's what they want to do. They came here, you know, and they can cry, they can holler, and they can hoop and say whatever they want to say about us. We didn't have a choice. But at some point, you're going to have to pay. You may think you're not, but at some point, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay for everything that you did. Because we done that. We done done that for 400 years. Think about our sinners and the pain that we done felt for 400 years.
400, yeah.
400 years, all that pain, all that whipping, all that beating. And you find a way to reimburse everybody for their troubles, all except for us. But that's all right. Let us go.
But they gave us food stamps, and they gave us free education, and they gave us public housing, and they let us buy houses and cars. They did.
Well, let me talk about something. Them people hate us so much. This is something I have recently found out. Let me tell you something. The United States government could be on what they call a health care subsidy. We could be having health care for every person in this country, every person, with very minimal charge. But them folk hate us so much because it would have benefited us along with everybody else. They decide, nope, can't do that. Can't do that. Mm-mm. Anybody but the Negro. And there may be people on this line say, you know, y'all into this race thing. But let me say this. Let me tell you this. When you want to take away a person's history, when you want to lie about something, when you go read a book, and I ain't talking about something from the 90s, from 1900, I'm talking about some of these old books, find out what's really going on. Because I'm going to quote Count Volney, who went with Napoleon over there to Egypt, and he saw the Sphinx, and he was an eyewitness to the Sphinx, and he said, it's funny to think, this race of people, today our slaves, and the object of our scorn, this race of people is the same people that we owe mathematics, all our, it, it, he care something about mathematics and our intelligence and even the use of speech, too. But that's not taught in schools because you hate us that much because of a freaking color. I hope you can deal with a color because when Messiah come back, and he is not looking like you. I hope you can deal with it and hope you love him.
Yeah, you know, but but people feel like that we don't deserve reparations. We don't deserve anything. They have already given us what we deserve to have. We don't deserve anything. And so, you know, and that's just how people feel. They feel like we don't deserve reparations. But, you know, Most High said we was leaving with great wealth. Great substance. I don't know where it's going to come from, and I really don't care at the end of the day, but it is what it is.
From them. And a whole lot of them are the ones that are rich, super rich. They're leaving the country, going over to other places, Europe, South America, and to the Caribbean. So, yeah. All that money is coming right back to us. Like I said, the wealth, like the Bible says, the wealth of the wicked is for the righteous.
For the righteous, yeah. Yeah, but you can't say that because that's racist. And that sounds racist, and it's not about color, and it's about people, and it's not about color, and it's not a racist thing. You know, I'm just saying.
Well, they had to set that up right there with the Most High because he was the one who said it first. I'm just repeating, you know what he says. Fact is fact.
And you know what the thing about it is nobody can tell us how we feel.
Mm-mm. They better not
tell us how we are supposed to feel. Nobody can tell us what we're supposed to think. Everybody wants to say, well, it's not a big deal. It's not about that. You haven't lived this. You haven't gone through this. You have no idea what this is like. But the thing about it is that we know why we were brought here, that our Elohim put us here because we were being disobedient and it was a punishment. And boy, what a punishment it was.
Yep.
But the punishment
yes.
is over. And now
mm-hmm.
we have to be able to fulfill the scripture. Genesis 15, 13, and 14, and go back home to the land of Canaan where we came from. We have to go back to the Middle East. We are the Hebrew Israelites of the scripture. We are the original Jew. We are. We are it.
Hey, Noah, Yana. They feel much better than we do. That's why they're trying to hide stuff. That's why the Catholic Church is trying to hide books and stuff. They don't want us knowing nothing except for what they want us to learn. The same thing just like with the educational system. They want us to learn what they want us to learn. They don't want you to climb no higher than what they are. So that way you'll be still in the dust while they're out there in the stars.
Yeah.
It's not a racial. I mean, it's not a racial thing. It's like you said, it's a spiritual thing. But it just so happens to be that, you know, it turns out that it turns out to be racial. But the thing is that they went overboard with our punishment, way overboard, and now they're going to get what we got. From them.
Double.
Yes, double. Their sons and their daughters will be sold. Their wives and even themselves, they will be ravished by another man. Their property taken from them. Their education is going to be very, very limited. They're not going to have not one ounce of power to lift up their arm against anybody.
but especially us. And that's not me saying it. That's just what the Most High says.
Well, guess what? We are coming up on the end of our show. And I want us to be able to say a prayer. We didn't say one on the Sabbath. So I wanted everybody to be able to, if you guys want to lead us off in prayer. And don't forget that we're meeting on our regular, our class line tonight at 7 to usher in our new moon ceremony so we can get that done. And who wants to lead us in prayer?
I got a question before you go. Where can you find the unleavened bread at? Because we went to a couple places. I mean, we went to a place today and we couldn't find it, even though they said that they had it.
I just buy the matzo crackers. I just go to Kroger's and I buy the matzo crackers. I don't do all that. I just buy the matzo crackers, and that's over in the Hebrew section in Kroger's.
All right.
In fact, I still got some from last year, so, you know.
Okay, I appreciate it.
They give you too many of them. It's like, yeah. So I just get the matzo crackers, so. Don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock we are going to go into our new moon ceremony. No buying or selling, nothing like that. We're going to be on our class line tonight at 7. Who wants to lead us off in prayer? Brother Yerushalayim, you want to do it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Blessed be you, O Yahweh. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you today through your son. We come to you today through your son, Yeshua the Christ. And we thank you for all the many mercies you've shown us. We thank you for the sustenance you provided for us. We thank you for the love that you put in our hearts. And we pray that you heal our hearts and our minds, our souls, and our bodies. We pray that you touch everybody that's on this line. Open up their eyes. Let them see the truth, hear the truth, and know the truth. We pray that you be with us as a nation and as a people to help us get over the anger, the hurt, the pain, the suffering. We pray that you deliver us, Father, from these lands of our captivity to a place where we can serve you and you alone. We thank you for everything that you've given, everything that you provided. We thank you for our teachers that you sent to guide us and to the all ways and all truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for everything and all things. And we say, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah.
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 All right. Guys, have a wonderful rest of your evening. We'll see you back tonight here at 7 o'clock for the new moon ceremony. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.